Just the other day, the COMELEC has disqualified the presidential candidate of the KBL, Veteliano Acosta, and I believe that serves him right because he has been making this presidential election a real mockery. But the fate of the once mighty KBL, or Kilusang Bagong Lipunan, is a lesson in the fluctuations of human power. Alam natin, nung panahon ng Marcos years, it was the dominant party. But since 1986, when Marcos was toppled from power, it has been a marginalized party. And it is a reminder that when it comes to power in human society, nothing is permanent. Everything is fluctuating. When once you are on top, another time you are down. And this should be a study in contrast with the abiding power of God. When it comes to the power of God, that power is incomparable, and this is something that should stoke our confidence in God. And our series in the afternoon service on Micah reveals a prophet whose burden is contained in his very name. Micah is short of Micaiah, which means who is like the Lord. And this is a message that runs through the whole prophetic ministry of Micah. And in fact, toward the conclusion of the book, we read in 7:18, who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity. So that's the message of Micah. And we see in every instance, yung kanyang nais na ipakita sa kanyang henerasyon ay walang katulad si Yahweh, walang katulad ang Panginoon. At hinati natin ito sa tatlong section. In fact, as I have said, this is one of the easiest to divide as far as sections are concerned because every section begins with the same invitation to hear. The first section begins with 1 verse 2 and then the next section begins with 3 verse 1 and we are now in the last section, 6 verse 1, beginning 6 verse 1 and every section begins with hear, an invitation to hear the summons and the indictments of God. At dito makikita natin yung paghahalo-halo, pinaghahalo yung mga bintang ng Diyos laban sa bayan na kanyang biniyayaan, subalit kasama sa mga bintang ay yun namang kanyang mga pangako na sila'y kanyang bibiyayaang muli. At ito yung pinagsama-sama rito, and the central substance therefore of Micah's prophecy is about the coming Messiah. Diyan nakapaloob yung muling pagbuhos ng biyaya ng Diyos sa kanyang bayan. And remember that even in the time of Micah, it was intended to raise hope. And during the time of Micah, it was yet future. And yet already, Micah expected them to raise their hope because of the coming Messiah. What more to you and me when this is not future merely, but already fulfillment. Nangyari na ito, naganap na ito, at bagamat may mangyayari pa, ito ay katotohanan na sa atin sa katauhan ng ating Panginoong Heso Kristo. The more we should take hope, the more we should distinguish our lives because of the Deliverer, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And so the last section of Micah is occupied with a kind of lifestyle God expects of His people in the light of the prophet's message. And I would invite you again to turn to Micah chapter 6. We are concentrating on verse 8. But let's begin again from verse 1. Micah chapter 6, verses 1 to 8, concentrating on verse 8. Hear now what the Lord says. Arise, plead your case before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. Hear, O you mountains, the Lord's complaint. A new strong foundation of the earth, foundations of the earth. For the Lord has a complaint against His people, and He will contend with Israel. O my people, what have I done to you? And how have I wearied you? Testify against me. For I brought you up from the land of Egypt. I redeemed you from the house of bondage. And I sent before you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember now what Balak, king of Moab, counseled and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him from Acacia Grove to Gilgal, that you may know the righteousness of the Lord. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before Him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression? the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? Verse 8, he has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Now, here, God is telling them, what sort of lifestyle should distinguish my people in the light of this promised deliverer? Darating ang tagapagligtas, darating ang manunubos, anong uri ng pamumuhay dapat maiba ang kanyang bayan na dadalawin ng manunubos? Tandaan natin, ganito na noong ang pangako ng manunubos ay mangyayari pa lamang, gaano pa sa ating panahon na nangyari na? Kung ganito na ang inaasahan sa kanila in the light of a future event, how much more should it be true to us to whom this event is now fulfillment? And therefore, whatever is said here of the lifestyle of God's people is true. And I would even say should even more emphatically true of the people of God today. So what is that lifestyle? Well, one thing that we see here combined, as I have called your attention last week, is the Lord combines the pleading as well as the requiring. On the one hand, this lifestyle is best for us. And in fact, it follows from the way God has dealt with us graciously. Itong sinasabi niya sa bayan ng Israel at ng Juda, hindi ba't pinalaya ko kayo sa Ehipto? Iniligtas ko kayo sa panahon ni Balak at ni Balaam? At sa mga pangyayaring ganyan, hindi ba't ang nararapat lamang ay yung inyong pagsunod sa akin? Ang sa mga salitang yan ay nagsusumamo ang Diyos. It's pleading. God is telling them, shouldn't it follow from the way I have been good to you? Shouldn't it follow from the way I have been gracious to you? And the same pleading can be presented to us even more so. Has not the Lord Jesus died for us? We will remember it tonight through our Lord's Supper. And such abundance of grace argues very strongly for a kind of lifestyle that should distinguish us from the rest who cannot say that there is that abundance of grace to them. Pleading, but with the pleading is requiring. Requiring means this is a command that you disobey on your own penalty, on your own threat. This is accountability to God. So we balance the two. That on the one hand, this is for our good, but if we don't obey, this will really be bad for us. Well, we ask the question then, what is that lifestyle that God requires of us? Yan yung message natin noong pang isang linggo. No one is like the Lord in insisting the lifestyle He expects of His people. And what kind of lifestyle? Well, we are given two categories here. We looked at the first last week, the lifestyle of God's people with men. He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justly and to love mercy. Ang pamumuhay na dapat ay naiiba sa mga tagasunod ng Diyos, sa mga tao, ay merong katarungan at merong kahabagan. At nakita natin yan nung nakaraang linggo. Ngayong linggo, ngayong araw na ito, tingnan natin yung ikalawang kategorya, the lifestyle of God's people with God. What is it that God requires? What is it that God pleads we should be towards Him? After the requisite with men comes the requisite with God, and it is put very simply, to walk humbly with your God. Very simple, very straightforward. We might have expected, since this is now about God, after 2 points concerning lifestyle with men, now that it is with God, we might have expected a longer list. Eh, total sa Diyos ito, baka ang akala natin, baka dapat mas mahaba, patungkol na ito sa Diyos. Kung dalawa yung hiningi sa atin para sa mga tao, siguro kung para sa Diyos, pwedeng 10, 20, well, the prophet does not put it that way. The prophet rather puts it in the simplest summary, and yet we realize that that summary is very packed with meaning and with relevance and with implication to us. It says, walk humbly with your God. It is a one-liner with power and dignity in its summary. It would be easy to focus on the adverb, humbly. But I suggest that the real main point is the verb walking. And I want us to see two things required of us in that one-liner of a summary. First, walking with God as the distinct practice of God's people. Walking with God as the distinct practice of God's people. And secondly, walking with God as the humble posture of God's people. Walking with God as the distinct practice and walking with God as the humble posture of God's people. First of all, then, walking with God as the distinct practice of God's people. Now, the figure, yung itong larawan ng paglakad kasama ng Diyos, ay hindi naman original kay Micah. It was not Micah who first described the lifestyle of God's people as one of walking with God. In fact, it occurred very early in the canon of scriptures. It occurred in Genesis. The very first occurrence of walking with God is about whom? Enoch. Enoch walked with God. In fact, it set him apart from the rest. And right after that, there is a statement that is full of mystery. Genesis 4:24, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. We traditionally believe that to mean that Enoch did not suffer death. He did not die because God took him directly. It is almost, one writer said, as if God did not want to interrupt the walking with a death. So walking with God, he was taken directly to heaven. But the point is that this is an early description of what sets apart the godly. Ito yung nakapagbibigay tangi, namumukod tangi ang mga makadiyos ay sa kanilang paglakad kasama ng Diyos. Next to Enoch, the man who was described as walking with God was Noah. Genesis 6:9, Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. Noah walked with God. And again, what sets him apart from his generation is that he walked with God. Now, obviously, he must have been a very skillful man, being able to build an ark. May talino itong si Noah siguro sa engineering at iba pang mga skills nung panahon na yun. But it wasn't that which set him apart. What set him apart from his generation is that he walked with God. So therefore, Micah had a lot of precedence for the concept of walking with God as a distinguishing character. And this is the point here. Being in God's company or walking with God sets apart the believer's life from the ungodly in the world. Let us not miss the individuality of this. Remember the words of Micah, he has shown you, O man, individual, singular. So he has shown you, O Christian, what it is that God requires, that you individually, you as one, walks with God, and that's what sets us apart. Ito ang nagbibigay ng pamumukod tangi sa atin ay yung kasama tayong lumalakad ng Diyos. In fact, by the time of the prophets, this concept of walking with God has been ingrained as that which distinguishes either individuals or the people of God as a nation in that they walk with God. As a matter of fact, when finally there was a divided kingdom, what sets apart Judah from Israel, the northern kingdom, is this very thing. Hosea was a generation earlier than Micah. Now listen to Hosea 11 verse 12, how he characterized these two kingdoms. Hosea 11, 12, Ephraim, the capital of Israel, has encircled me with lies, and the house of Israel with deceit, but Judah still walks with God. So yung pagkakaiba nila ay ito ang larawan na ginamit. Ang Israel, nag-apostate na, humiwalay na sa Diyos, tumalikod na sa batas ni Moises. Ngunit ang Judah, ang namumukod tangi sa kanya, ang nag-iiba sa kanya sa Northern Kingdom ay Judah still walks with God. And that shows us that walking with God is a distinguishing characteristic. Ito yung nagpapaiba sa atin. And the preposition here is significant. Sometimes in the Old Testament, it's walking before God, conscious of God watching, or sometimes it's walking after His laws. But The significant thing here is it is walking with God. It underscores personal company, God's personal presence. Now, when you say you walk with someone, eh, kasama mo, kilala mo, at kasama, magdalawa kayong lumalakad. You know, we find ourselves sometimes in a crowd, let's say in a mall or in a street, and we walk with a lot of people, but you're not going to say, I'm walking with these people. You use that for someone of a personal companion. You walk with a companion, the rest is just crowd. With a crowd, they just happen to be there. With a companion, you intend walking with them. Sa crowd, maaaring makakasabay kayo naglalakad, ngunit wala kang pakialam sa pupuntahan nila at sana wala silang pakialam sa pupuntahan mo. E ganun ang crowd. You don't mind where they are going, you don't mind where they have been from, they are just crowd. But with a companion, you have the intention, you know. There is consciousness, there is caring with a companion. Now, let me extend the figure. There are those who will not deny God's existence, but their treatment of Him is just like being in the crowd. They don't mind about God. They believe in God. He's there. But just like in the crowd, you know there are people there, but you don't care about them. And you just hope they don't care about you. And one's treatment of God can be like that. And I may be speaking to someone here. You care about your belief in God. You say you believe in God, but your treatment of Him is that He is just crowd. Siya'y madla lang na nandyan sila, maaaring nakakasabay mo, ngunit wala kang pakialam sa kanila at wala kang alalahanin kung saan sila pupunta. At yung pagtrato natin sa Diyos ay maaaring maging ganyan. You don't walk with God. He just happens to be like the crowd. He just happens to be there and you don't bother Him and you hope He won't bother you. But this cannot be the attitude of the believer with his God. The believer is with God in His presence. And that sets him apart. It distinguishes him from the world that treats God like one in the crowd. At isang hamon ko sa iyo ay isipin mo, is God, are you in the company of God? Are you walking with God? Ikaw ba'y lumalakad na kasama ng Diyos? Hindi lang sa naniniwala kang may Diyos, ngunit wala kang pakialam at sana'y hindi siya makikialam sa iyo. You see, lalo na siguro sa Manila, I see the various creative ways whereby candidates call attention to their names. Kahit hindi pa official campaign noon, eh, kabi-kabila na. Basta lang matawag yung pansin sa pangalan nila. Well, sometimes we treat God like that. A name that you see, a name that is posted left and right. But again, who cares about these people? Well, the believer cares. The believer minds. Because to the believer, God is company. He walks with God. And the challenge to us, brethren, is make it habitual practice, not occasional accident, to be conscious of God's presence. Gawin mong iyong ugali na palaging kasama ang Diyos, hindi lamang sa mga okasyon, hindi lamang mga pagkakataon, kundi patuloy na kamalayan ng presensya ng Diyos. Again, let me extend the figure because I believe this to be a very helpful illustration. Sometimes, you are walking by yourself and then you make a chance encounter with an acquaintance. So what do? You greet, perhaps chat a little while, and make an effort to show how glad you are to see him, but after that, you move on. Kagaya kagabi, I chance encounter Rodel, good friend, so we had a good chat, but after the chat, he moves on, I move on. And sometimes we treat God that way. Our treatment of God is like that. you show that you like God. And yet, it is possible that you're not walking with God, but God to you is just chance encounter. Perhaps the chance encounter is when you're in church. In church, you're suddenly reminded of God, and the pressure of God's word forces you to chat with Him. And perhaps you're happy about that. You're happy with your church experience on Sunday, but after Sunday, you move on, and then God moves on. And it can happen that our treatment of God is chance encounter, and that is not walking with God. Be careful to know whether you are walking with God or just having chance encounters with God. This was the danger of Micah's generation, and in fact, of every generation since. This is what the generation of Micah was willing to deliver. They said in 6:6 and following, "With what shall I come before the Lord? And bow myself before the high God. Shall I come before Him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old?" In other words, they were saying, I'm willing to have this chance encounter with God. He will be happy with my gifts. He will be happy with my rituals. And once done, He can let me go on with my life. And I let Him go on with His life. We can have our times of chatting, but please, walking with God is too inconvenient for me. And there can be that kind of lifestyle for you and me. And be careful that your dealing with God is not like that. Mag-ingat tayo na yung ating pakikitungo sa Diyos ay hindi yung aksidenteng pakikipagsalubungan. At maaaring natutuwa tayo na makatagpo siya ngunit wala yung tunay na paglakad kasama niya. When you walk with someone, you pace your walk with him. You talk to Him. You are mindful of Him. And I ask you, are you in God's company even when you have to be at work? Are you in God's company when you have to deal with problems? Now, some are in such a state that not only are they not walking with God, they are not even having chance encounter with God, they are positively running away from God. Perhaps you're running away from gospel conviction. You come to church and there starts a conviction in your heart that God is telling you this is now to deal with sin. This is now the time to face up to your standing before God that only Christ can save your soul. And as the message comes through with power upon your soul, you know God is telling you to pause and have time with Him. But by the time you go home, you turn on your TV, and immediately that which has begun as a conviction immediately drives away. And Sunday comes for another chance encounter with God, or perhaps run away from God. Well, this is a plea from God. And by a plea, God is saying you owe it to Him after all the benefits of His goodness. Romans 2 verse 4, His goodness should lead you to repentance. And if God has been good to you in many ways, have you repented? Have you turned to Him? And this is, of course, a plea to us believers. He has been good to you in many ways. Shouldn't you be walking with Him and not just be having chance encounter with God? This is a requirement of God, not only a plea, but a requirement. You will answer to Him if you fail to enjoy His company, and His presence. What a privilege it is, if you think of it. What a privilege that we should be able to walk with God, even individually. Marilynne Robinson is the author of a book in 1980, Housekeeping. And that book was hailed to the point that Marilynne Robinson won the Pulitzer Prize for that book. You know, the Pulitzer Prize is like the Nobel Prize for writers. But after that book, Marilynne Robinson did not write a single one for 25 years because she's been occupied with something that has dealt with her soul. In 2006, she came up with another book. The title, something you would never expect. But the title of the book, John Calvin, Steward of God's Covenant. And in that book, she relished the thought
that individuals have the liberty of communion with God without priests.
Ay, doon sa book na yun, talagang buong kagalakan niyang nararanasan ng lumakad kasama ng Diyos na hindi kailangan ng mga pari.
And now she's using that gift in order to bring out this point. And I challenge you, do we even realize what a great privilege it is that individually we can walk with God? That you do not have to be a pawn under the miserable weight of the stresses of day to day. No matter what they can do, stressful as they are, yet you have your God. You can walk with Him. And yet, how many times we miss that very privilege and we just let ourselves be under the stress of day-to-day incidents. Walking with God is the distinct practice of God's people. Secondly, walking with God as the humble posture of God's people. In the statement of Micah, there is a disposition that walking with God will instill in the people walking with Him. May disposition, may diwa ang paglakad kasama ng Diyos. At ang salitang ginamit dito ay walk humbly. And the point is that being in God's company appeals to and requires humility on the part of the believer. Now, this parallels the two words that pertain to our lifestyle with our fellow men. With our fellow men, you do justice and love mercy. Justice and mercy. But when we deal with God, we cannot do justice to Him. He doesn't need our justice. And definitely, He doesn't need our mercy, much less so. Instead, in the presence of God, of such a companion, what else can our posture be but that of humility? You know, it's like when you're walking with a friend, you're buddy-buddy with him. Let's say you're walking with your boss. Well, there is more deference to your boss. And if you're walking with a government official, well, the more deference. Yet you're walking with him. Well, you are walking with your God. And in fact, Micah's chosen word here is used only in this text in the whole of the Hebrew Old Testament. Dito lang ginamit ang salitang ito. In other words, Micah thought very carefully. And so he chose a unique word that has in it the sense of being cautious, careful. Maybe the idea is, if you're a visitor and your host is giving you a guided tour, hindi ka naman siguro mauuna sa kanya. Siya yung nakakaalam ng lugar, siya yung nakakaalam ng binibigay niyang tour sa iyo, at you defer to him. At hindi ikaw yung magtuturo, o hindi ganyan, dito muna tayo. Eh, ikaw nga yung guest at siya yung nagbibigay sa iyo ng guided tour. And that's the picture here. God knows the way. God owns the place. And He has invited you. The great privilege of walking with Him. And He is showing you the way. He is showing you the places. Would you dare go ahead of Him? Would you dare dictate on Him? Well, this is what Micah means. When you're in the presence of this God, you walk humbly. And that calls to attention and to challenge every hindrance of pride. Be conscious of and mortify every form of pride that hinders joyful company with God. Pride says, I know my own way. And there is no sense of waiting upon God, no sense of seeking God's guidance and direction. And this is where, again, rituals such as those that Micah's generation was willing to undertake, rituals can be used to dismiss God, to salve conscience that duty has been done. And it has been that way, not only in Micah, but this is a common note among the prophets, how people
will replace with rituals
a more personal knowledge of God. Listen to Hosea 6:6, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, and knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. Jeremiah 7:22, I did not speak to your fathers or command them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings or sacrifices, but this is what I commanded them, saying, obey my voice and I will be your God and you shall be my people. You see, the refrain is that gustong-gusto nyo ipalit yung ritual. Handang-handa kayo na maghandog ng mga susunugin. Ang katumbas niyan sa atin ay handa kayong dumalo sa simbahan, handa kayong magbuklat ng Biblia, handa kayong magbigay ng offering. Lahat ng yun ay mga magagandang bagay, ngunit nagiging kapalit para sa iba ng personal na pagkilala sa Diyos, personal na pakikipag-ugnayan sa Diyos, personal na paglakad sa Diyos. At kung ganyan ang nangyayari sa iyong pagsimba, personal na pamamalit, this is something we need to mortify. Satisfaction in the performance of rituals without having dealt with God is a subtle form of pride. And it can happen tonight when we observe our Lord's Supper, wonderful sacrament that reminds us of the greatest that God has done for our souls. Sent His Son, He spared not His own Son. And we can go through the rituals of taking the bread and drinking the wine and all the paraphernalia of the sacrament. And once done, we go home without any real, genuine memory of what Christ has done, with very little, if any, gratitude for that sacrifice and no living communion with Him. It's all been flawless ritual, but no personal knowledge of God. Humility means being conscious that we cannot go on with the next steps without God's direction. And remember this morning in our study of Charles Colson, it was pride that put him to breaking conviction when he realized how proud he was. Pride is hindering our joy, and yet it gives us smug satisfaction, which gives us a fake happiness. Let us ask ourselves, let us examine ourselves. What sort of pride is making you miss the immense joy of walking with your God humbly? He has told you, O man, again, individual, what God requires, that you walk humbly with Him. And the idea here is that it is a joyful, happy, blessed company. It comes to us both as a plea and as a command. Whatever it is that's hindering it, address it, mortify it, and most likely there is pride that lurks somewhere. Mortify it by the grace of God and respond to this plea and obey the command. Walk humbly with your God. Let us sing our last hymn for the service, a sovereign protector I have. To imagine, to think of this great privilege that is ours, that we can be in the presence of our God, let us take it as a privilege that humbles us, a privilege that ennobles us, a privilege that delights us to have the smile of God upon us. But it requires humility. Let's close in prayer. Tunay nga, Panginoon, na sa iyong mga tagasunod ay hinihiling mo ang uri ng pamumuhay na namumukod tangi sa pakikitungo sa mga tao at gayon din sa aming pakikitungo sa iyo. At sa pakikitungo namin sa iyo, ang uri ng pamumuhay namin ay dapat na lumalakad ng kasama mo ng may kababaang loob. Salamat, Panginoon, sa katotohanan na kami bilang iyong mga anak ay may pribilehyo ng paglakad ng kasama mo. And may this thought really challenge us. It is possible that just like when we are walking among the crowd, we can treat our God like the crowd.
we believe in God, and yet, like the crowd that we know is there, yet they walk and we do not care where, and our treatment of God can be something like that. Or it can even be something of a chance encounter. Someone we like, whom we encounter by chance, and we may chat happily, and yet move on separately. And it is possible that our religious service can become no more than a chance encounter for some of us. And yet it may be that we are not walking with you. Grant, O Lord, that we would challenge ourselves to realize that it is a great privilege that is ours, that we should be able, by your grace and through the mediation of Christ and by the work of the Holy Spirit, that we can walk with our God, that He can be a presence to us and not just a chance encounter. Speak to those who perhaps are seeking to run away from God, running away from gospel conviction. May you arrest them the way you have arrested Paul on the way to Damascus and bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ. We also pray that you would help us to realize that walking with you requires a humble posture. For while with men we must do justice and love mercy, we do not treat you with mercy or with justice, but in your presence we must be humble. There must be that carefulness, knowing that you are the one who knows the place. You are the one who must guide, and we just follow your will. May you help us, Lord, address and mortify every form of pride that hinders joyful company with you. It is possible that rituals are taking the place of real walking with you, and it is pride that's keeping us from joyful company. May we challenge it. Even in our preparation for the Lord's Supper, let it not erode into a mere ritual to us, but let it be that powerful sacrament it is meant to be, that through it we may remember the Lord Jesus, we may thank Him, and that we may be able to commune with Him. So be with us, and help us, Lord, to take this both as a plea and as a requirement that we are to walk humbly with our God. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.